And it's a big welcome to everyone to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Jonah Vella and Steve Pallas, here on RPPFM, the voice of Peninsula. Good morning to you, Steve.
G'day, Joey. How are you going?
Are you ready to talk grassroots sport?
I'm ready to talk grassroots sport. But before we do, Joe, one of us appeared on SBS News in the last couple of weeks, and I think one of that was you. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I was lucky enough to appear on SBS World News in regards to a movie that I've recently produced, which is all about sports power to build bridges and improve people's lives. It's called More Than Just a Game. So if you hear about it, support it. We'll be having the premiere at the Classic Cinema in Elsternwick on Thursday, May 1. If you need any more details, then drop us a line at jointheshow@sportscommunity.com.au. Now, we've got a bumper of a show this week, mate. We have got Gary O'Sullivan, the general manager of the Northern Blues, on the show. And he's going to be talking recruitment.
He is going to be talking recruitment.
He's an old mate of yours.
Well, he's certainly old. He's a very good friend of mine, but he's one of the most experienced sports administrators in the country.
Can't wait for that particular one. We've also got one of our very popular top nine segments where we give you the top nine hints for something, a topic relating to grassroots sports. And this week it's top nine content creation tips for grassroots sports clubs. So whether you acknowledge it or not, you're creating loads of content, whether it be written or for your websites or social media. So we're going to give you some tips on how to create content that works for your club. But before we do that, we're going to check out the latest grants update with Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And as this show's heard Australia-wide, we pick up a grants from Australia-wide. And today we want to talk about the Queensland grant, which is Get Started. And it's a program that helps kids get involved in sports clubs. It's a voucher program. So, Joe, the kids and families can get a voucher to pay for up to $150 of club membership or participation fee. It's a brilliant program, and every child within in Queensland is eligible for this voucher of $150. But you need to apply online, and applications close on the 30th of April 2014. So for more information, go to the Sports Community website, www.sportscommunity.com.au. Click on the grants tab and you'll see about 80 grants that we've got online that are open open that clubs can apply for, and volunteers, and also players and participants of all sports. So good resource for clubs, but that grant's a great grant if you're living in Queensland and have kids. And that's about it for the grants this week, Joe.
Dreaming of a place which is abundant with fresh fruits, herbs and vegetables, cheeses, seafood, bread, cakes and many other regional delicacies? Well, stop dreaming, as the Farmers Market in Mornington has all that and a whole lot more. Enjoy freshly made coffee and ready-to-eat food in an environment which the kids will love. Open every second Saturday of every month from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. $2 per adult. Children are free. The Farmers Market Mornington, a station sponsor.
Peninsula Skin Cancer Centre has two centrally located clinics in Mornington and now in Frankston. They not only have state-of-the-art facilities, but also a great team of specialists with great skill in surgical technique and non-invasive skin cancer treatment. See for yourself on their open day, 15th of March, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at their new centre, 375 Nepean Highway, Frankston. Inquiries call 5975 9544. The Peninsula Skin Cancer Centre's a station sponsor.
More people with a taste for quality are shopping at Eliza Meats. Kevin and his lean team pride themselves on the finest cuts. From juicy steaks and roasts to high-grade mince and sausages, and Eliza Meats are the gourmet specialists. Inquire about Eliza Meats Spit Hire. Phone 9787 4473 for a mouth-watering meal fit for a king. It's all at Eliza Meats. See our sponsor Kevin at Eliza Meats, 112B Mount Eliza Way, a station sponsor.
Are you a business owner looking to cut costs in your business? Tough, isn't it? Let Bartercard show you a different way to increase your sales, cash flow and business profits. Don't wait. Increase your cash flow today. Boost your business with Bartercard. To find out how Bartercard can increase cash flow to your business, call 1300 Barter.
That's 1300 BARTER.
This is Sally from Sweet Pea Cuisine. At Sweet Pea Cuisine, we specialise in sharing knowledge, passion and enjoyment around food. We run cooking classes for kids, teens and adults, present food events and cooking demonstrations, create recipes to highlight your product and style food for the camera. Join me every Tuesday morning on the breakfast program when I chat about all things food on the peninsula. To find out more, visit me at www.sweetpeacuisine.com.au and like my Facebook page, Sweet Pea Cuisine. Stay sweet with Sweet Pea Cuisine, a station sponsor.
Okay, big welcome to our next guest here on RPPFM, the voice of the peninsula. His name is Gary O'Sullivan. He's the general manager of the Northern Blues Football Club. Welcome to Sports Community Radio. Gary, how are you?
Good, thank you, Joe. And Steve, good to be with you.
G'day, Gary. Steve Pallas here. How are you going?
Good, thank you, Steve.
Now, you're sitting on the side of the road taking our calls, so we very, very much appreciate that because, well, In all honesty, you're probably one of the most experienced sports administrators in the country, having not just your current role with the Northern Blues, but having some time with the mighty Richmond Football Club and the Western Bulldogs in your journey?
Yes, Steve. I've been in this business since 1982, full-time. So, fair while, but it's been good. You have your tough times and your good times, but it's been a great industry to be involved in, and I wouldn't change too much. It's been wonderful.
Well, actually, I've undersold your contribution to the Western Bulldogs. You're a life member at the Western Bulldogs.
Yes, a life member there, which I'm very proud of. Received that back in 1992. Gee, that's a long time ago. So, so very proud of that, and certainly still take a keen interest in the Doggies, as I do, you know, with the Tigers. But, so all good.
And the Blues and the I guess Gaz, the reason we've got you onto the show today is to talk recruiting and for the winter season clubs, not just football, but for the winter season clubs, they're right into or just about finished their recruiting process. So first of all, with the Northern Blues, which is for those not local to the area, the Northern Blues, how do you describe that and its relationship to the Carlton Football Club now?
Yeah, well, our origins are the Preston Football Club, so the old Preston Bull Ants, which is obviously synonymous with the northern suburbs, a la, you know, there's Coburg and Preston, so we were the old VFA clubs out in that region. It's now called, of course, the VFL, and we've had a few name changes over the last 20 years. They were the, as I said, the Preston Football Club, the Preston Bull Ants, the Northern Bull Ants, and now we're called the Northern Blues. So we are still surviving in our own right. Our office and our spiritual home is still the famous old Cramer Street, Preston City Oval. But for our survival, the club had to go down that alignment pathway some 11 years ago now. And so basically we're aligned with the Carlton Football Club. And basically how that works, to simplify it, is, for instance, round one, when it comes up in a couple of weeks' time, whatever guys, AFL-listed guys for Carlton don't get in the senior side for Carlton in their first game, the first couple of rounds, they will then play with us in our senior VFL side, in the VFL. So we look after their overflow of players that don't get a game in their senior AFL side. We look after them in our sides. We have a senior side and a development side, which is just a flash word for the old reserve side. And we've been together now over 10 years, and it's a really good, strong alignment, and it's going from strength to strength. You know, whereas some have disintegrated over the years, and this year, of course, we've seen the Western Bulldogs and Williamstown go their separate ways, and, of course, Richmond and Coburg have gone their separate ways. Mm. So sides like us and Box Hill, we're still very much entrenched with our alignments.
Fantastic. Now, from a recruiting perspective, Gary, it seems to me that you've kind of almost got two different pools. You've got recruiting out of the community, but also recruiting out of the players leaving the AFL, notwithstanding you've got the Carlton top-up players. So how do you go about doing that? How do you...
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a bit different to the normal club life that we're all brought up with. We're being an aligned club, as I explained before. We serve two masters, so to speak. We serve the northern region of Melbourne, a la the old Preston area, and of course we look after the Carlton boys. So we serve two masters. We this year we have been fortunate enough to recruit two players with AFL experience. For this year we've got Jack Anthony, who played 50 odd games of AFL, just under 60 games of AFL with Collingwood for a number of years, and with Fremantle of recent times, and a young fellow from the Gold Coast Suns, Joel Wilkinson, who's played about 26 games of AFL. So not every year we're lucky enough to get players of AFL experience. We try, but finances and the marketplace dictates that. In my time at the club, we've had Jason Saddington, yep, as a full-time Northern Blues player, who was an ex-Sydney Swans and Carlton footballer. Daniel Harford,
yep,
SEN zone Daniel Harford, ex-Hawthorn and Carlton player, and he played with us as a full-time, well, as a VFL player, listed player. So we don't get them every year, but we've got two coming into this year, which is great. We get a lot of good young boys from the TAC Cup, the Northern Knights, which is the elite TAC Cup competition in the northern region of Melbourne. We get the boys that don't get drafted or are still wanting to keep the dream alive. We use that term fairly often, keep that dream alive of wanting to play elite football or get to the AFL. They'll then come to us instead of maybe going back to metropolitan football, yep, and give it a couple of years trying with us. We recruit from all over the place, you know, a lot of young people. The beauty is, Steve and Joe, is that different to country or metropolitan clubs, we do get a lot of young boys and parents wanting their kids to come and try out in the VFL. So instead of sort of having to really door knock and plead with players to come and play, we do get quite a few that, for want of a better word, plead to come and try out with us. So it's sort of, it's a good system. We do target recruit a little bit, but we also do get a heck of a lot of young players and talented players that want to try their luck in the VFL.
Oh, I'm sure they do. And there's particularly over the last couple of years, there's been a significant increase in the number of players drafted out of the VFL, which is, I think, fantastic for community football. And
yeah, my word, like there's, probably our most recent, might be a little bit of a controversial name, but our most recent player that went into the AFL ranks was Ahmed Saad,
yep,
who virtually walked off the street four or five years ago, came to training one night just before Christmas and asked if he could train. And I virtually said, look, I don't think so. He was pretty small and we didn't know much about him, but he sort of pleaded, can you just give us 2 weeks? So David Teague was our coach at the time, and I said, look, I've got a little fella out here, Teague, that wants to try out with us. And so he said, yeah, let him try out. So he wasn't invited, and he just virtually arrived at Carlton Busy Park one night and asked whether he could train. Anyway, we let him train, and he looked okay, and he ended up getting on our list, but it took him about 6 or 7 weeks before he got his first game in our reserves. And then, cut a long story short, the rest is history. He had a couple of good years with us, and then he went to St Kilda, and he's done all right, but unfortunately he made an innocent mistake and is suffering from that at the moment, with having to stand out of footy because of the supplements issue.
Yeah, that's another story for another day, that one.
But yep, sure.
If I can just take you back to, you spoke about this year you've got a couple of AFL players.
Yeah.
How, in the most basic detail, how do clubs go about approaching ex-AFL players? And I guess, like, for our audience, we're talking about the suburban football club that has no contact with the AFL system or player managers or anything like that. Do you go to the managers? Do you go directly to the player? How do you get in touch with them?
Look, it can be all different ways, Steve. With these two particular boys, they're a little bit unique. Jack Anthony, he actually approached us, so I can't claim a recruiting coup with such on this occasion. But Jack actually rang me at the club to see, or just to find out whether we would be interested. He wasn't He wasn't shopping himself around, and I legitimately believe that. He moved back from WA last year and played with his good friend Brody Holland at Maribyrnong Park.
Yep.
And he was just 25 years of age, and he thought, look, I wouldn't mind trying to get back in the AFL system. So he gave us a call, because he's got a fondness for Mick Malthouse, even though he left Collingwood when Mick was coaching, but he's got a high regard for Mick.
Yep.
He moved into the Carlton area, so he wasn't far from our training base at Busy Park. He did his homework and found, that we're not a bad club, and there could be an opportunity if he did all right with us for 12 months that he might get another look in. So that's how that process started. With the other boy, Joel Wilkinson, we're on the lookout for some good young talent. We keep in regular contact with the recruiting people at Carlton, and they told us that they were very close to recruiting Joel Wilkinson to Carlton in the rookie draft, but they had to go for big Cameron Woods, who was at ex-Collingwood, who was currently last year at Williamstown.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a bit more rucking back up with Shawnee Hampson leaving to go to your mighty club, the Tigers.
Mm-hmm. And Megan Gale, too.
And Megan Gale, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so they recommended, if we wanted to, have a chat to Joel. He's a Queensland boy. They gave me his number. Out of the blue, I gave him a call. He seemed very interested. He seemed very genuine. He did have a bit of a rapport with Shane Rogers, who was the national recruiting manager at Carlton. So, anyway, again, to cut a long story short, he came down just before Christmas, enjoyed the time with us, signed on the dotted line before Christmas, and he's definitely one of ours for this year. So that's how those two guys came. Daniel Harford, who was with us, played his last year of AFL footy at Carlton. Digby Morrell played his last AFL footy year at Carlton. Jason Saddington, the same. So I suppose we're a bit lucky that we can get access and contact to these guys fairly quickly, and we know what might be on their mind, looking down the track for their football future. So if there's an opportunity there, we're sort of Johnny on the spot to pounce.
Yeah.
But we do have access to a lot of the managers and some, as I said, some managers or players will ring us because they might see us as a good fit for them.
Yeah.
With a regard of trying to get back into the AFL.
So what about if we take it back a step to the local level and we a local
yep.
a football club and even a rural club who just don't have any links into, I guess, the football network. How would you recommend to those clubs that they would approach recently retired or delisted AFL players?
Yeah, sure. Well, we've got probably the last 7 years, we've really built up our rapport with the Northern Footy League. So, we're talking the Heidelbergs, West Prestons, Bunderers, and all the clubs, First Division, Second Division, Third Division clubs in the Northern Footy League. So we have some information nights where we don't want it to be just a one-way street, where we're getting all their best young kids coming to us and they're getting nothing in return. So we just recently had a meeting with all the Northern Footy League presidents and secretaries at the Watsonia RSL a couple of weeks ago, where I addressed, there was 26 or 27 clubs present, where I addressed them and told them and emphasised that if you need any help, in this regard, looking at recruiting players, players that may be leaving our system, players that you might want to get in touch with that I might be able to help you connect with, I'm only too happy to do that, or we're only too happy to do that as a club, because we want to be seen to be helping also and generally helping the clubs that are in the northern region of Melbourne that we represent at VFL level. So we can help connect those clubs to exiting AFL players or exiting VFL players or past players that have been on our list that may be interested in maybe going back and playing metropolitan football. So where there's a will, there's a way. We certainly, with our contacts, have that ability to, as I said before, connect the clubs, with certain players and managers if they want to.
Gary, Joe here. I just a bit of advice for recruiting managers or people in recruitment out there at all levels. Do you have like a checklist, or do you go for the best player available, or do you have some kind of strategy checklist that you use when you're evaluating players or future prospects?
Yes, Joe. I mean, we certainly aren't as obviously as professional and focused, dedicated as the AFL clubs are. We want our competition open to everyone. Like for instance, our captain, his name is Brent Bransgrove. Now he's built your blokes are probably too young, but in my day there was a little fella playing AFL, VFL footy called Paul Callery.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, well, you know, Paul Callery was built like a little battle tank, but Tony Liberatore. Now Liber, there's a perfect example. Liber wouldn't get looked at nowadays. He just wouldn't. No matter what we all think, and I love Liber, and Liber was a fantastic player, but just his physical attributes probably, and we hear it time and time again nowadays that he probably wouldn't get a look in. But at VFL level, thank goodness, we still do, and we've got all shapes and sizes. It's gone very much a young man's competition, but it's still open age, of course. But it's open to all shapes and sizes, as I say. I put a lot of emphasis on character because we are a very young club and we are connected to the Carlton Football Club. So we just can't afford to have rat bags in our, one of the better term, in our system, because they've got to be playing alongside and with AFL players. And Carlton certainly want us to be reasonably professional on who we have in our organisation. So, we've got a bit of a checklist, but, talent, character, our needs, it all sort of comes into it. But by and large, if they've got a reasonably good desire and a work ethic that they want to improve themselves and test themselves at VFL level, they might be up against 80 or 90 players pre-season. If they can get through and make our list of 45, that's fantastic. And then we give them every opportunity to proceed from there.
Yeah, just on that, Gary, for the kids out there, you were talking about Armand Saad before who rocked up to your gates. And at the risk of having 5,000 kids now rocking up to your gates, we don't want that. But he's obviously, there was something special about him. What is it... Aside from the physical attributes, and they're a great head start for potential football players if they have them, but aside from those, what, in your experience, really stands players in good stead above the shoulders? What are the characteristics that you look for mentally in potential recruits?
Look, it's pretty simple, Joe's, for me. If they're a competitor, if they're a competitive beast, and that can make up for a hell of a lot of their football makeup, well, to me, that's just one of the key ingredients for a football, as far as I'm concerned. You can have guys, and we've all played with and seen players that have just God-given talent like you wouldn't believe, but they just haven't got that drive or desire or competitiveness to push themselves to, and it's not everyone's cup of tea either. Not everyone wants to be a VFL footballer. Not everyone wants to be an AFL footballer. A lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever, playing with your mates and having fun at Seaford, Beaky, Berwick, Bunyip, anywhere.
Wherever.
Nothing wrong with that. And that makes up, the biggest or the most of our footy population. So, but at the elite level, if they're wanting to have a crack, they're just not going to get their talent alone. I've seen so many instances of boys that, I want to have a go at VFL. Yep, I know when training starts. Bang, they rock up on night one. They're not prepared. They haven't done any fitness work or any gym work. They just think the talent's going to get them there, and it just doesn't. It'll get them to a certain level or a certain way of the journey, but it won't get them all the way. So a real good, strong work ethic, being a naturally a competitor, a desire that really sort of sets them aside from your run-of-the-mill football. It usually puts them in a good position to have a crack at VFL footy and beyond.
Yeah, that's right. And that's a real eye-opener for a lot of people out there. You know, you hear, how many times have you heard in the pub, I could have been better than this bloke, or I could have made it and stuff. But there's a lot of elements to actually making it, and competitiveness is a big one, isn't it?
That's right.
We're recording this show, and we'll go to air probably the week before you start the season. But, Gary, when do you start thinking about recruiting for next season? Like many clubs do it once this season's finished. But
yeah, no, look, it's always on your mind. We've appointed a couple of years ago a young guy that watches over the Northern Footy League for us, being our sort of our immediate backyard. And he comes up with a list of recommendations before we start. We usually get about eight to ten weeks off. But in that time, and as I said before, the phones start too. We'll get, when the footy season hasn't long finished, we'll get calls from young players of all shapes and sizes and ages and different levels of experience, along with, quite a few parents. Who will be ringing us quite early to see if they can get an opportunity to do a pre-season. So we're sort of always, as I said before, we're not an AFL club. We aren't resourced like an AFL club, so we haven't got a couple of full-time people dedicated to it, and nor should we. But it's always on your mind. If I watch a game of footy, I might watch a, I could be with Steve watching the Beaconsfield Netball Club through the year, and then we might watch the footy, and then we could be somebody doing well, in the local game. And like this year, I've got a boy from Berwick training with us, Mitchell Johnson, who kicked 50-plus goals as an 18-year-old last year with Berwick. A couple of years ago, I had Nick Smith and Troy McDermott from Beaconsfield. So, it's good that a couple of boys from that area have come down and tried out. And always on the lookout. If anybody wants to have a crack at it, and they sometimes travel might be a little bit of an impediment, but by and large, if they're wanting to have a crack at it, we'll give them that opportunity.
And you mentioned before about getting the clubs from the Northern Football League, and you've mentioned the Northern Football League a couple of times. That
yep.
The concept of that pathway is just vitally important for, creating pathways is vitally important for clubs, but I'm surprised you're probably the first club I know of that's actually at that level that's actually looked to invest back into their community.
Yeah, well, as I said, it wasn't always the case. For some stupid reason, the Northern Footy League, or the old Diamond Valley Footy League, and the old Preston Footy Club, they were just sworn enemies. It was just crazy stuff. And our president, Steve Papel, almost close to your name, mate, he was a past president of the Bundoora Footy Club. So he's very passionate about the Northern Footy League, and it's been it's been a terrific direction that we've taken, improving our relationship with the Northern Footy League. And we now host all their finals at Preston City Oval every September. It's just the mecca of footy for the North. And I forgot to mention before, we have an amateur club who have borrowed our name, and Carlton have also given them permission to use the Carlton emblem. The Northern Blues Amateurs are in the fourth division, or they actually won the grand final last year at St. Level, so they've gone up into a higher division, but they're an amateur side that were born out of Preston Bullant Juniors some 3 or 4 years ago, that have all stuck together and worked their way through the ranks. And so we get half a dozen of those boys come and train with us at the end of every year too. So, it's another pathway that we've started up, which we're quite proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. Pathways is something we speak so much about at training, but it seems like that even at the elite level, you've worked very hard to create a whole number of pathways into your club. Is that something that's obviously taken a huge amount of time and investment of energy and resources to build that, and we see a little bit of resistance from clubs about the concept of developing pathways, and players will just come to them, particularly those clubs in areas that are well served, if we're talking senior sport, well served by junior clubs, or if we're talking junior clubs, well served by schools feeding them in. But that investment really is worthwhile, isn't it, to create those pathways?
Oh, look, I think so. We actually, this year for the first time, and I'm look, I'm not saying we're the perfect club. We are not by any stretch of the imagination. But we, you know, because we lack certain hefty financial streams, we don't have gaming revenue.
Yep.
And we're not seeking to get gaming revenue, but we, a lot of our competitors do have that, and they, you know, have a lot of money to throw around, and they've got a fair bit of power and clout because of their finances. Well, we've got to be a bit smarter in other ways, and that's the path that we've chosen to really work our area, to create these pathways. And to the level of this year, we've had Bundoora, Greensboro, Northcote Park, and Eltham, and Heidelberg, I've probably left one or two clubs out, who have actually rang us and have recommended players to us.
Wow.
Now, I don't think you'd get that happening to, you know, in too many other places of clubs in the metropolitan area offering up their good young talent to the local VFL side.
No, very rare.
So, as I said, I'm not, you know, look, we, you know, we don't do things perfectly, but there are a few things that we think we do okay and that we've improved our position on, and that's certainly one of them. Because, as I said, we had to, because we just haven't got the finances to you know, to be throwing around and attracting, you know, high priced recruits. So we're really in development. We've got, last year we had 23 players out of our 45 who had played at the Northern Knights. Wow. Including our two co-captains were ex-Northern Knights players, which means they come from the northern suburbs. Yeah. So yeah, massive importance for us.
What about off the field? I mean, how do you go about recruiting your, particularly administration and support services? Because, you know, you talk about lack of budget. I know you don't have enough money, or you don't have the resources to pay all those people, but you also don't have... Well, it seems like you do have that role within the community that like local community clubs do have. How do you go about recruiting your off-field team?
Yeah, again, we're pretty sort of proud of our recent record. We've had because we're a VFL club, and we're, you know, I'm full time. I have a full time marketing sponsorship manager, and I have a full time functions manager. So there's three of us full time at the club, and we are quite fortunate that we do get a lot of, and I had an interview with two boys today, young lads and girls that are currently undertaking sports admin courses or that sort of thing, that need hours for their course to go towards their course. You know, in some cases, 70 hours a year or 100 hours for the year. And all the CEDA program, we get a lot of inquiries from the CEDA program.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And Sports Ready through the AFL. Last year I had a Sports Ready person through that system. I had a local boy, young Alex Benbow, who is a well-known young footballer from up our way, and won the TAC Cup medal a couple of years ago. He was a CEDA student that would work with me one day a week. You know, et cetera, et cetera. So we do, like players, like on field, off field, we do get a lot of inquiries for young people who are studying and wanting to get their foot in the door, maybe at club land, wanting to offer their services, in most cases voluntarily, and get some experience. And we've had that, and I've had three or four people come to us under that system, who have now gone on and have got full-time jobs at the Carlton Footy Club.
Oh, fantastic.
So, you know, not only, you know, we've been able to push a few players into the AFL system, we've been able to push them who were original young volunteers with us through to us after a couple of years, and then getting some part-time roles and now full-time roles at the Carlton Footy Club. So you know, we can, and we're proud of the fact that we can also help, you know, a lot of off-field careers also.
Yeah, absolutely. I must admit, we have known each other for a number of years, Gary, and we have the pleasure of sitting beside many a netball court discussing the life. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on the Sports Community Radio Show. It's been brilliant. Thank you so much.
No, absolute pleasure, Joe and Steve, and good luck with your show.
Okay, no worries. Big thank you there to our special guest, Mr. Gary O'Sullivan from the Northern Blues. He's the general manager. You're with Steve and Joe on Sports Community Radio. Okay, welcome back to Sports Community Radio with your host, Jonah Vella and Steve Pallast here on RPPFM, the voice of the peninsula. We're talking top nine creation, content creation tips for your sports clubs today. So the number one tip that we've got for you is to make sure that you tell a story. So one of the most powerful ways to engage your club community is to tell stories that touch people. Most clubs keep their newsletter content, social media and website content to factual data about events or fundraisers. You know, you might have timetables and schedules and who's going to be using what training net and who's going to be using what pitch and all those kind of that kind of factual content on your social media and your website. But what you should be doing is you should be also incorporating stories that touch your club community and the world wider community in general. Now you do that by writing content about club legends, for example. Or writing stories about club members that have done something spectacular, something newsworthy. You might even write a story about club members that have overcome incredible odds. And we've had a classic example of that recently with David Sands, who suffered from bacterial meningitis and was told, his family was told at one point that he might not make it. And he fought his way back. And he's a big part of the Mount Martha Cricket Club community and also Somerville Tennis Club. And both those clubs chronicled David's fight and his journey back. And that engaged the community, that touched the community. And the response was that when they had a fundraiser for David, they were able to, the Mount Martha Cricket Club, that is, people involved with them were able to raise $100,000 because they were able to touch their community with the content that they were writing about David's return to health. So tell a story. Don't just rely on factual data when creating content for your sports club. Don't just rely on results, match day events. Tell a story, profile your club legends, and touch your community and the wider audience in that way by telling stories. Number two is to spell check. When you're creating content for your club, whether it be on Facebook or whether it be on newsletters or whether it be on your website, I mean, this sounds pretty straightforward, but you'd be amazed at how many clubs are unaware that there is a tool that allows you to check your spelling automatically. And that's not just with Word, that's with websites as well. You can get an online spell checker that sits on your browser. All you need to do is go to Google and type in a free online spell checker and you add that to your browser and it will check your spelling as you type in content on your social media sites. If you need any more information about that, then drop us a line at jointheshow@sportscommunity.com.au. But make sure you have spell checkers and grammar checkers. Go over your work before you put it out to your club community and the wider community, because it does distract people from the message that you're trying to tell them when your work is riddled with grammar or spelling errors. And look, none of us are trying to be William Shakespeare here. We all make mistakes, especially me. I always get two and two wrong and the double O and the one and the single O and the theirs. But having a close look and using tools like spell checkers and grammar checkers avoids a lot of embarrassment. The third tip that we have for you in terms of your content creation for your sports clubs is to include competitions in your content that you're creating. So again, on your Facebook pages, on your newsletters, on your website, put in some competitions. They're a great way to make your content work for you. You'd be amazed at how many new visitors you could attract to your club website and your social media pages just by running regular comps. And the prizes don't need to be large scale. They could be a new set of socks, for example, or some shorts, or some shin pads. Keep the prizes small, but keep the competitions regular. So have a competition maybe once a month. If you've got a whole bunch of prizes, you might even do one once a week. And have it for answering a question about the club, or you might do it as a random chance type thing. But the more competitions that you run, the more people will be attracted to your social media, your club's website, your club's newsletters, and you'll engage your community in a far more effective manner by getting them to come and visit your pages because of the competitions. Okay, number four in our tips on content creation for your sports club is the use of polls, opinions, and trivia. Now, this is a very powerful way to create content, and there's a lot of media agencies out there that survive basically on creating controversy. So, yeah, a number of radio stations, for example, they solely survive on feedback and on opinion, and they'll throw controversial content out there in the form of questions and discussions just so they can get people to engage with them. Now, we're definitely not advocating using that strategy for your sports club, but what we are saying is that you can use things like polls and trivia and questions to your club community to generate discussion. So you might say, how many club championships has Barry Smith been involved with? Barry Smith happens to be a club legend. Or you might even say something like, who should be in the club's team of the century? And you could probably post that on Facebook, or you could post that on your newsletter, or you could put it on your website, and you can invite comments on that particular question. Or you could even put down 10 players as a suggestion and ask for people to click on the ones that they think that should be make up part of that team. And that's just ways that you can, using polls, using opinion questions that generate opinions and discussion, and using trivia will engage your audience, and will then, by engaging your audience and getting them to come visit your website, you'll be able to get your club's message across far more effectively when you want to raise funds or when you want to seek new members. Fifth way that you should be creating content is with a podcast. Now, we've talked about podcasts in earlier shows, and a lot of people get a little bit confused and worried about the technology bit. But essentially, a podcast is simply publishing recorded material. So you make a recording, and that's audio. You can do that these days on your iPhone, on your Android phone. You can do it a multitude of ways. You can even press record on your computer nowadays. There's ways that you can record your own voice on your computer. All you need to do is be able to record audio in MP3 or WAV, WAV format, very, very industry standard formats, and lots of tools do it. And once you've done that, you can then attach that audio to your website or your Facebook, and you can play it or allow your visitors to play it and download it. So an example of where this might be used is you might have a club legend that's just been voted into the Hall of Fame, and you might sit down with your iPhone with the club legend and conduct an interview on what the club means to that particular person. You record that interview, and then you upload that onto your website or your Facebook, or you can even use it in your electronic newsletter. You can provide a link to it in your electronic newsletter. And people will download that because audio is a very easily digested form of content. And a lot of people, they can't read these days the computer screens, and it's much easier for them to listen rather than read. Okay, number six in the content creation strategies and tips for your club is to actually ask people what they want. So with the aim of them sharing your content for you. Now, that sounds a bit mumbo-jumbo, so I'll explain it. If you make your content shareable, in other words, if you format your content in a way that other people in the community can easily pick it up and pass it on to others, then what you're doing is you're using your community to promote your club. You're getting other people to do the heavy lifting for you. So websites and social media these days have got a number of different tools that allow people to share your information, share it with their own followers, share it with the world in general. So make use of those. When you're creating content on your Facebook or your website, add share buttons to the actual content. So if you've written an article on an under 10 side that's won a state championship, add some share buttons to that so people can pick that up and share it with their community. You'll be surprised at how many people will share your content, and it actually takes away a lot of the work that you have to do to get your club's message out there. And the beauty about this strategy is that others are doing the marketing and publicity for your club without much effort on your part. So, you know, I would advise you to go to your local radio station, go to your local go to your local newspaper and ask them, what format would you like content in, and how can we make it, how can we create our content so you would share it, and get their feedback and create content that they would share it. And you'll find that you'll get a lot more media that way as well. Okay, number seven is incorporating pictures in your content. They say that pictures are worth 1,000 words. And there is actual factual evidence in the world of social media that suggests that people are much more likely to react to pictures than words. And there are special types of pictures, or graphical content, as we call them. There's memes and there's infographics. And these are both designed to be easily shareable over social media networks like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So as a club out there, you should investigate the use of these tools, memes and infographics, to promote your club and promote its messages and try and get new people visiting your club. Because they do have the potential to engage your community, your club's community, on a whole different level, especially the younger community members who are far more receptive to graphical content than words. And these days, you know, your club should be actively soliciting your club's members to provide photos as well. So if someone takes a specky in a footy match, then and someone's got that on their phone or taken a photo, then actively promote them to upload that to the club website, because that engages them, and you might even combine that with a competition. So, for example, your club might run a competition for the best match day football shot or photo, and that combines a couple of different content creation strategies. You're having a competition, and you're using graphical images, and you're engaging your community. All in one strategy. Okay, number eight is, if pictures are worth 1,000 words, then video is worth 10,000. And this is continuing on the graphical theme. Videos are a great way to engage your club community. And in general, visitors to websites and social media are much more likely to hit the play button than read the captions or the associated article. And you know yourselves that if you go to a newspaper article and there's a video there, you're probably more likely to click on the play than read the article first. And clubs can produce video these days very, very cheaply with iPhones and Android phones. And these videos are more than sufficient to use on your websites, on your social media, on your newsletters. So video content, it could include interviews with past legends, as we mentioned before. It could include match day highlights. In fact, the video content in clubs is limited only by your desire to produce it, because you know people get a bit afraid of the technology. But really, all you need to be doing is getting your phone, taking a pretty simple film, and then the club should facilitate getting that film onto their website and social media pages, because people want to see video about the club. Okay, the last but not least of the content creation strategies is to measure your content. So one of the mistakes that most clubs make is that they write stuff for their newsletters, Facebook, social media page, their website, and what they don't measure it. So they've no idea what content works best for them. So they don't know whether written content is working, whether pictures are working, video is working, audio is working, what type of content is engaging your club community the most. And you want to know this information because you want to continually evolve your club's assets, your club's media assets, social media assets, websites, newsletters, to reach as many people as they possibly can. And so the easiest way to do that is with a tool called Google Analytics, and it's free, and you can plug it straight into your website. Just go to Google and Google Analytics, and it'll tell you how to do that. And it will tell you how many people come and visit your website, where they visit, what articles they open, what they respond to the most. And the same with Facebook and Twitter. Facebook and Twitter have got analytics as well that tell you which of your posts and which of your tweets are the ones that are generating the most traffic. And all of this information should be used by clubs to discover, you know, what works and what doesn't when it comes to content. Okay, I hope that's been informative for you, and I hope you all can take what we've spoken about and employ it at your clubs and make use of it. Okay, we've come to that time again where we must say goodbye. It's been an absolute honour to bring the radio show to you, the sportscommunity.com.au radio show, with your hosts here, Joe Novella and Steve Pellis. On behalf of myself, Joe Novella,
and myself, Steve Pellis, thank you for making us part of your sports community.